Our reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 9, verses 42 to 48. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it will be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that will eat them do not die, and the fire is not quenched. Here is the word of the Lord.
That's quite a hard reading, isn't it? Talking about cutting your hand off and cutting your feet off and pulling your eye out. Not the sort of imagery we're used to, is it? So let's just ask God to help us unravel these words and help him to reveal to us what it might mean for us today. We've been looking at the last few weeks about the theme of discipleship, what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we need to set our reading this morning within a little bit of context. What's just been happening before to cause Jesus to say these words? Well, the disciples had been on their way to Capernaum and they were having an argument amongst themselves about who was the greatest, who was the most important. You can imagine the scene, can't you? Walking along the dusty road and going, well, I think I'm the most important. No, it's not you, it's me. And jostling amongst themselves. Jesus, as he so usually does, turns things completely on their heads. And he tells them, whoever wants to be first must be last. Must be last of all and servant of all. He'd then taken a child in his arms and said, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. You see, Jesus wasn't about pointing to himself and his own importance. It was about pointing people towards God. And then we have today's reading, which follows on from that, with a stark warning to Jesus' disciples. If you cause any one of these little ones to stumble, then it's bad news for you, severe punishment. Jesus is so emphatic with his disciples because they're the ones who've been following him around, hearing his every word, seeing his every miracle. They're the ones who truly should have got it. His close followers, he would have expected them to know, not been arguing amongst themselves about who was the most important. But as so often happens, and we see in Mark's gospel, is the disciples don't get it. They're portrayed as a very human bunch, aren't they? And you wondered what Jesus must have despaired of them at times. But those are the ones that he chose to follow him. And he calls each one of us as well to follow him, with all our failings, all our humanity, and for the times we get it all wrong and don't get it, he still calls us to be his followers. But why are children so important to Jesus? Can we have our first slide up, please? Does he want us to be childish? Well, if we're honest, we've all still got a bit of the kid in us, aren't we? The one who doesn't think things are fair, the one that likes to have a bit of a sulk and a tantrum, stick our tongue out when we don't like what's going on. But I don't think Jesus is talking to us about being childish. So can we have the second slide? He's calling us to be childlike. Now, we've got a picture up here. I don't know what it means to you, but it's a child jumping, maybe up in the air, and trusting that the parent there will catch them, safe in the Father's arms. And that's what childlike trust is with God, showing true trust in a relationship, taking a leap of faith and trusting in God. I can remember back to my very own childhood days of lying in bed, having conversations with God. Very simple prayers, no deep theology, no organised religion, but an absolute trust that God was there and that I could have a conversation with him. Spontaneity of a simple relationship. And I wonder if you can remember a time early on in your faith. You might not have been a child, it might have been later on. But what was it like for you when you first encountered God and realised that God was there and that you could have a relationship with him? Just think back to that. And sometimes it's worth nurturing that childlike faith. We get involved in church, we get involved in organised religion. Sometimes that can help, and to be quite frank, sometimes it can hinder. But sometimes we need to rediscover the childlikeness of our faith. And Jesus doesn't want his disciples to be a stumbling block to that, to those who are coming to know Jesus. By their own self-absorption and their quest to be important, they could actually be putting off people from knowing what true faith should be. And they really should have known better after being with Jesus. So that's why he has very harsh words for them. If we're not careful, we might be guilty too of putting stumbling blocks in people's ways of truly knowing God, wanting them to understand things as we do, or doing it like we do. So we have to check ourselves and make sure we're not doing that. Does what we do promote or hinder the gospel? Is it our agenda or God's? Is it his will or mine? Or are we like Jesus, where it's not about him, it's about pointing people to God? Did the disciples learn? Well, we don't really know, but we do have a clue in chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel, just a few verses on. People are bringing children to Jesus for him to touch and bless, and the disciples get very indignant and try to shoo them all away. Jesus has got far more important things to do than to be bothered with you lot. But Jesus rebukes them again and says, "Do not stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And to endorse that, he took the children in his arms and blessed them. Well, what do we make of all this? What about discipleship here in our current world? What does it mean to be a disciple in the week after the country has made a monumental decision, probably one of the most important decisions in our recent history? Perhaps in the campaigning we saw a lot of people putting forward their own self-importance on either side. And there's been some fallout already, haven't there? People have had to resign. There are people who are celebrating. There are people who are genuinely shocked and in disbelief. Now, unfortunately, the Bible didn't provide us with this prescription on how to vote. If only it had been that simple. We have to work it out, don't we? But Jesus calls us not to be first, but to put ourselves last and be servant of all. And perhaps the way forward for us as Christians into this uncharted territory is to have that servant heart that Jesus had, to build our future for our future generations in this country as it makes a drastic change. And I believe that Jesus would have been absolutely there, right in the thick of it. Our God didn't remain aloof and mysterious, but he humbled himself and came to earth. He rolled his sleeves up and got stuck in, got his hands and his feet dirty, challenging leaders, turning the values of society on their head, reaching out to the unloved, the marginalised, the poor, the unlovable, showing a radically new way to live. And if we claim not to know how Jesus wants us to live, then we're not fully understanding his life and his mission. So our task is to get on with it now, with a servant heart, with what the future holds for us. And this is our next slide, because it shows that it's not about us. God isn't dependent on us. On the first side there, we've got God squeezed into church shape. Sometimes we get on with doing things, decide what we want to do, and then invite God into it. But the true picture is, God is much bigger than all that. God is already active and alive and working things out in our world. He has a mission out there, and as his disciples, he calls us to join in that mission, to see where he's at work, and we've to join in with that. And can I have the next slide, please? Because it's not about us, is it? It's about what God has already done for us. And we will remember that later as we share in Holy Communion. God sent his son Jesus to earth to die for each one of us. The work of reconciliation is already done. And our task is to tell others about that. And from my own journey of faith and discipleship over the years, of which you've all been part of that for the last 27, there's just one or two more things I've learnt that I'd like to share with you. Can we have the next slide, please? As disciples, we will face challenges. Sometimes we will feel that the world is getting us down and that the storms of life are overtaking us. But we need not fear. God is with us. Jesus said to his own disciples in the night before his crucifixion, "In this world you will have trouble. Not you may have trouble, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus has already trodden the way before us, and in him we can have trust, even through times of fear and doubt. I have overcome the world. And he's overcome it for all of us. We remain here, a body of believers. I'm absolutely passionate that Christianity is a communal faith. It's not for individuals. God has called us together in a body, as Paul so richly writes about in his epistles. But Christ is the head of that body, and in that body we all have a part to play. No one part is more important than the other, but we all need each other to function together, to work for good, to uphold each other when things get tough, to share in the joys of life and the joy of faith. We are a body of Christ. And the next slide, please. And facing decisions. We will have tough decisions to make in our lives, as disciples, as a church, as a community, and as a body. Which way shall we go? What shall we do? Well, in seeking to follow God and to follow him through his word and in prayer, God will guide us And this verse up here is one that has spoken to me very powerfully over the last few years as I've been wondering what direction God wants me to take in my life. And God wants what is good for us. There is a good way. And if we seek it, he will show us. And we need to follow it. Have I got another slide? Can you put that up? So the lesson for us as disciples, to learn from those early disciples who were busy squabbling amongst themselves, is the message that Jesus taught us. If we're to be his true disciples, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. So may God dwell in us richly as we move forward in our journeys of discipleship. Amen.